name's Darren, as you've heard. I've been part of the St. Philip's family for about a year, along with my own family, and it's been a great privilege to be here, and I'm really kind of grateful to Gareth for inviting me to come and speak this morning while he's away sunning it in Somerset. Thanks, Dan, for leading us in that amazing worship. I think I gave it a bit too much, but we'll crack on. excuse me. This morning, as for me, has been about depending on God. Technology failed, traffic was a bit awkward where I wasn't expecting it to be. Brendel greeted me at the door to do the 9:30 service in not the best frame of mind. There's all these kinds of things that come up against you, and you have everything in your head and everything in your mind. And this week, I've been constantly trying to think about what to say this morning. And time and again, God says, thanks, Jacob. God doesn't say thanks, Jacob, but God said, just trust and just listen. Just trust and just listen. And sometimes we need that, don't we? I love that idea of being 2 weeks into the party. Thanks for that, Grace. I'm going to keep that. I've been about 36 years in the party, and I'm still learning every day about God, what God has done for me, and about what he calls me to do and to be for his sake and glory, which means most of the time I get it wrong, so that's why I'm having to pick myself up. This week, or rather this term, we're thinking about the I Am sayings of Jesus through our summer season. And today we're thinking, as we've heard Leah read, about I Am the Gate. And I'm sorry about my glasses. As I said, technology failed, so I'm looking at my phone. But it also means that I can't see you if I put these on, because they're only readers. So they will keep coming on and off, which is really annoying for me, but hopefully not so much for you. Jesus starts in this passage in John 10. With a parable, and it's not the easiest parable to grasp. It's been a really hard one to wrestle with. You read different commentaries and you learn that scholars have been wrestling with it for years anyway. And what Jesus helpfully does for us as he talks to his disciples and he encourages them to hear his words is he begins to unpack it for them, just as he does with the parable of the sower when he shares with that, and he begins to explain it with them and he says, listen, if you've got ears, listen to this truth that I'm teaching you. And there's a sense in which we might pop that in to this parable here where Jesus is saying to his friends, just listen to what I'm saying to you. I am the gate for the sheep. And hearing Jesus' voice is really important. I don't want to try and confuse us by mixing all the metaphors up, but there are so many images that Jesus uses here. He talks about being a gatekeeper, he talks about the gate, he talks about being a shepherd, and next week Gareth will be unpacking what it means to be, for Jesus to be the good shepherd. But when Jesus was sharing with his disciples these parables, he was trying to cultivate the ability for them to hear him speak through these parables about what the kingdom of God is like, about how their life lived out in that kingdom should be as they reflected him in all that they said and did. And for me, the kingdom of God is very much about living in the presence of God, about trusting in the power of God, the power of God's Holy Spirit at work in our lives, and shaping us into the people of God who live out our faith, who communicate the good news of Jesus in the world around us. Grace and Roz are just going to help me with a little experiment. I've got a gate over here. I don't know why I'm doing. All fingers and thumbs. Right, Grace, I want you to go out into the back room, maybe in the kitchen. Roz is going to put this onto you as a blindfold. Okay. Just wait for them to go. This could all end in tears, but it's my daughter, so I guess. Ha ha ha. Okay, Ros and Grace, are you ready to come back in? Okay, if Grace just wants to stand there somewhere at the back. Ros, if you want to come up to the front here, please. Now, Grace, your mum, whose voice you know really well, is going to invite you to come down to the front and make your way to the front and get through this gate at the front, okay? It's already open, so you don't have to open it, but hopefully you can't see, but she's going to guide you. So what you've got to do is really listen intently for your mum's voice. So as she calls you forward. So your mum's going to get you there safely, okay? Didn't she do well? How easy was that?
Not easy.
Could you hear your mum?
Only just.
Only just. So it was really hard to pick out her voice amongst the crowd. Thank you very much for doing that. You had no idea you were going to do that this morning, did you? Picking out the voice of Jesus in all the clamour of the world is really difficult. So how do we cultivate that ability? Well, Jesus says, I am the gate. I am the gate for the sheep, and some people have obviously spent too much time in a field in Shepton Mallet this week, they've turned into sheep. But the gate is something that works two ways. This is not going to work, but this actually does swing in both directions. And Jesus is a gate who lets us both in, but also lets us out. He lets us in to the place of safety, the gathered community, where we're marked for purpose, where we learn how to hear the voice of Jesus. And that place of safety might be a gathering like this when we worship on a Sunday. It could be a Bible study group, a home group. It could be a prayer group or our fellowship group. It could be just time that we spend together eating over a meal. Any opportunity where we meet with one another and we meet with Jesus can be a time where we cultivate that ability to learn to hear his voice. And we learn that by looking at his word, but we also learn to understand what Jesus might be saying into our culture today. A few years ago, while I was training for the Methodist ministry, I got the chance to go to Australia. And I spent 6 weeks in New South Wales. And as part of that, for a week, I got to share with the Flying Padre, who worked alongside the Flying Doctors, for anybody old enough to remember them. And the Flying Padre worked out in the outback, and he went out to the most remote sheep stations ministering to the people who were really isolated in their community, from their community. And Rob, who was our Padre, used to take me out in his little four-seater plane and fly me out to places. And we went to a place called Devon, which was a 100,000-acre farm, and we met with a farmer and his family, and they were really on hard times. The farm had gone bust. They were in a lot of debt. And the farmer was really struggling with depression-related illness. And one thing he had to try and do was gather all his sheep in order that he could sell them and break even before then he handed over the farm to the receivers. And Rob said, well, how can we help you? He said, well, I just need to get these sheep together. So Rob said, well, maybe we can help with a plane. Now, going there, sat in the front of the plane was great because, you know, you get to like use the controls, and Rob says, you know, can you see how those hills are getting higher and the ground's getting sort of nearer? Well, you need to pull back. But we got there alive, and we got there in one piece. And then we get to fly around this farm called Devon to search for sheep. And sat in the front is great. Sat in the back was not so good. We were flying and swooping, and we were going up and down like this, and my head and my stomach were going up and down and round and round. And I just about survived the flight. But what was fascinating was seeing how we were managing to disturb all the sheep in the various corners of the homestead, and they were then making their way back. Because of their fear, they were seeking a place of safety. And by the time we landed and got back to the farm, all the sheep were coming up the pastures and arriving back at the farm into this great big sort of walled pen. But that isn't where they needed to be. Where they needed to be was in this tiny pen right at the back. And there was a little bit of a channel. There was a gate that swung both ways. And then the channel led into this small pen where they could be gathered and then marked in order to be sold on for the purpose of helping the farmer break even. And they got me into the middle of this great big place where all the sheep were starting to gather. And they said, what you need to do, Darren, is get them into that small pen. So just wave your arms and honk like a goose. So I was running around this thing. The thing is, at first, they were all there gathered by the gate. I was thinking, this is going to be easy. They'll just go straight through because I'll come running at them. They'll scare them. So you run at the sheep, and they don't run in an opposite direction. They run back at you, around you, and off to the other side. So I ran back after them to the other side, and then they ran back around me and went back to the top. And this went on for, must have been like 10, 15 minutes. And then I realized that I was the only one doing this, and they were all sat on the fence laughing. And then the farmer sends his dog in, and all he does is whistle and call to the sheep, and they all come and file one by one by one. He could have done that 20 minutes before, but he didn't. And the sheep all came into a place of safety, and they were marked how they needed to be marked. And I guess there's a sense, really, in which God, too, invites us in to that place of safety, into the place of his community. Jesus says, come in to where I can speak to you. Come into the place where I can give you rest. Come into the place where I can hold you in the palm of my hand. And this week, you know, a lot of us have been penned, as you've heard. 12,000 of us have been penned into Shepton Mallet, and we've all been marked by these little wristbands here. And Jacob's got his on too. Where are you, Jacob? We've all been marked in order that it was recognized we were part of it. But everything we did there was for a purpose. Everything we did there was in order that we might leave again, in order to be God's blessing to the world around us. And I'm completely off script, so you'll just have to bear with me. Talk amongst yourselves a minute. Our times together are so important. They help us hear through written words, and they help us hear through the written word, through Jesus, the living word, who's at work in the world. And part of that reason that we gather together like this is because Jesus needs to train us to be aware of the other voices. It talks in that parable about thieves and robbers coming in to steal. To steal us away from the safe place where Jesus makes for us. Jesus is the gate. He puts himself in that gap, in that direct place of attack. But he says, even though you're here, even though you're safe when you stay behind me, when you trust in me, there will still be many things that come to seek to steal you away. There will be voices that tell you you're not worthy enough to be here. There will be voices that say it's all rubbish, that Jesus didn't even die, let alone rise again from the dead. There will be people who say, all ways lead to God. It doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you're happy. But all of those deny the truth and the reality of what God seeks to do, which is to renew the whole world, to bring all people to himself. When Jesus went to the cross, he died for the sins of the whole world so that all people might come to know God. And Darren Rounson, who's been our Bible teacher this week, talked about, you know, whether you listen to the teachings of Muhammad or Buddha or Gandhi or any one of the other faiths, you can find strength in those things or even hope in those things, but none of them can save us. It's only through Jesus Christ that we can know the true salvation of our God. And Jesus says the gate is open. The way to that salvation is open. I went to the cross in order that you might know the fullness of life that God has on offer for you. I went to the cross and rose again that you might know that everyone is welcome and everyone is worthy. The resurrection is like a cosmic declaration to us that the way is open. that we can come in because Jesus invites us. And if anything's been said over you that you feel, well, actually, no, I can't come in because I've done this in my life, or because I'm not really holy enough, or because I'm not worthy, or because I don't know the liturgy, or because I don't know whether to stand or sit when everybody else does, well, that's rubbish. That's just what the enemy tries to distract us with. Steal us away from Jesus. But Jesus says, no, I just want you as you are to come, to know my love, to know that you are welcome, to know that there's a place for you. Jesus is the gate that lets us in and lets us out. He lets us into the kingdom of God so we can learn to grow in faith, resist the enemy, and be marked for the very reason we were created, to live out our lives in relationship with him. The gate lets us out. When we're made into the likeness of Jesus, we're not imprisoned into some kind of holy sheep pen. Jesus doesn't want us to stay at New Wine. He doesn't want us to stay in our churches on a Sunday morning. He wants us to go out into the world, to take what we've learned, to be that presence of hope, of freedom, to take that message of salvation for all people, so that we can flourish, so that all people can flourish. Being saved by Jesus is not so we can sit back and say, well, that's sorted, when can I book my next cruise or holiday? It's so that we become like him in the world, bringing hope, freedom, sharing love and justice, being and sharing the gospel of Christ. I was explaining to the 9:30 bunch this morning that I'm a trustee of a charitable fund. It's a Christian fund that was left by a great philanthropist, and each year we distribute about £2,500 to different causes, churches, charities, that are seeking to advance the kingdom of God. And when we meet, we have a small gathering in the morning where we consider a small group of things, and I chair that meeting. And then in the afternoon, we meet with a bigger group of people, and we kind of distribute the larger pot. But in the middle, they have a finance meeting, and that's my excuse to do a runner, because I don't do figures. And one of our last meetings, I was in St. James's Park. I'd been to Starbucks, grabbed me coffee, got me granola bar, as you do. And I was sat in St. James's Park, flitting away the squirrels. And as I looked, there was a young couple, and they had bags of seed, and they were feeding the birds, and there were all sorts of wildfowl, quite a rich variety, and there were literally hundreds of these things, there were geese, there were ducks, there were mergansers, you name it, they were there, and they were all coming for the seed that the young man was spreading out for them. The young woman, on the other hand, was a little bit reticent. Birds were clearly not her thing, and she was holding her seed. She sprinkled a few, and a few birds had come, but she was holding them quite close, and it was almost that the birds sensed that there was a greater prize, because they started to come towards her. Even though her partner was spreading out the seeds, they started just moving inch by inch, and she started moving inch by inch backwards. And as she moved and realized that the birds were following her, she screamed, a really high-pitched scream, and then legged it. And the birds, in complete formation, legged it after her. And it was just fascinating to see this great V form of all these different types of birds just running after this poor woman with her bags of seed. And as she was running, somebody else came to the path and started to throw out bits of bread. And all the birds, in their great big V shape, turned round and went to the person throwing the bread. And the woman came back sheepishly and went off with her boyfriend, who was still roaring. And it hit me in that moment, really, that that's how we've been as church. We have this amazing good news. We have this beautiful truth that Jesus, who died and rose again, has opened his kingdom to us all to experience, not least those who are the last and the lost and the hopeless and those who have nothing. But he calls us all to take that good news into the world. And what do? We keep it to ourselves. We hold on to it. We're frightened of being embarrassed. We're frightened of being ridiculed. We're frightened of people telling us, well, yeah, we don't want to know. It's all right for you, but it's not right for me. And you know, people will do that. But the calling upon us is to go out into the pasture. The reason that Jesus wants us to know his voice is so that we hear his voice when we're out in the world, and we trust in it, and we depend upon it, and we know that it will not let us down. And we're there to share that seed, because the bread isn't good for the birds. The bread is damaging for them, for their young. They need the seeds for nourishment, so that they can flourish. And the world needs the same, because there will be enough people throwing all sorts of rubbish out there that will be telling people, this is how you need to live your life. This is what you need for satisfaction. This is the right path to freedom. And it won't be the path that God has set. It won't be the path that Jesus has died for. And we have that opportunity. We have that blessing, that anointing upon each one of us to go into the world and say, this is what our God has done for you, for us. His love is unchanged. There's nothing that you can say, nothing that you can do, nothing that you've ever done that can change that. And that's good news and hope for everyone. And we have that opportunity, church, to go into the world and to be those messengers, to break free, to step through the gate and go back into the pasture where Jesus calls us and where Jesus ministers and invites us to stand alongside him. This morning, I don't know where you're at in your relationship with God. Maybe you stepped through the gate and you've not been quite sure whether it's still right for you. But today you're thinking, actually, I want to know Jesus more. I want Jesus to be the center of my life. It may be that you've been fearful of stepping through because of how it might change you or because of what other people have said to you or said over you. And Jesus says, come and know my freedom. Know the life abundant that I promised for you, that I've secured for you. It may be today that you come back from New Wine or you've had some other experience and you're thinking, God, what is my purpose? What am I here for? What are you calling me into? And maybe today is a day for you to step into the promise and the purpose that he has for you. The purpose you were created for. Because what we're assured of is that his grace is enough for us. That we need depend on nothing else. That he will be there for us every step of the way. That the gate is open for us to come into the safety of his presence, of his power. But it's also there that we might be released to be the blessing that he calls us to be. That we might be the gospel hope that he instills in us and in our hearts. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your way is open for each of us. That the opportunities that you provide for us are the doorway not just for our own lives, but for the lives of so many others who you are calling home to you. So help us to be ready and courageous enough to step through the gate wherever you may lead, to trust in all that you teach us through the ministry of your church, to cultivate that listening ear that we might know where you are speaking into our lives and out into the world. And may we be ready to go out into the pasture to be the good news and the hope that your world is longing to hear. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.